that you are stormproof because he's in the storm with you. So keep driving to that destination, and I'll see you there.
Let's go. I got some friends that we will do this show for you. I got friends all over the place.
Yeah. Franklin and Kelly Price and Pantasia, Tyree and all the others. I thought about that thing. Problems make you want to frown. People make you want to frown. But man, if you stay in God's presence, you'll smile. Because he's given us some joy, unspeakable joy. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley. Smiling away today because I have peace in my heart. Hallelujah. So happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm ready to get started for this week's lesson. We're going to ask Pastor Bell if she'll go ahead on and get us started this week and with a word of prayer. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for that selection. Amen, amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to thank you, Father God, for your word. We're thanking you for another opportunity that we can come together and learn more of your word today, Father God. Bless the listeners and those that participate. Bless our pastor. Continue to be with him and guide him into all truth, that he's teaching us more truth, Father God. Be with those who have asked us to keep them in prayer, those that are sick and shut in, Father God, those who are bereaved today, Father God, and those who are going through. We know you're a way maker out of no way. You will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and by your stripes we are healed. So we're binding up anything and everything that try to come up against any one of us on this broadcast, those that are also listening by internet, be with those, Father God, who have been affected by the hurricane. We know it's time of recovering, but you're working all things out, Father God. Be with those that are in high places, Father God. Touch their hearts that they will be led by your Spirit. Lord, we give you praise, and we just want to thank you for your word that we're about to receive today and throughout this week. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Pastor. See if Evangelist Sharon available. Okay, awesome. Okay. Well, we're going to talk this week a little bit about believing in this new and living way. Now, when I say this, I don't want it to be taken out of context. Believing, and the word believing means acting on the word of God. In other words, it's a word that you act on. Believing is a continuation of the verb, if you get what I'm saying. In other words, if you believe, you're going to act. If you don't believe, you won't act. But we're going to have to believe in this new and living way. Another way of saying this is that believing in his substitutionary work. And man, that is like so important that people don't believe in the reality of what the word of God says. So I'm going to start, because they're so full of man's nature or this natural nature, until they don't want to let the natural go. But man will not know himself as long as he operates in the natural. I'm so glad Pastor read that scripture, because the Bible says over there in that same chapter in Romans 8, it says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. I mean, how many people really believe that? Really?
All right.
I mean, folks really struggling with that. Know that your carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God. Neither indeed can be. So they that are, the Bible says, they that are actually after the flesh or governed by the senses or operating in the flesh, you can't please God. The only way you can please God is to be in the spirit, brothers and sisters. So we're going to talk about believing in this new and living way. But we're going to start with Hebrews 10 and 20. That's going to be one of our foundational scriptures. Today, I'm just going to pretty much give you scriptures that we're going to talk about this week. And if we get a chance to get into some of them, we will. If not, well, you'll have an opportunity to get ahead of the class and start learning on your own, because you'll have the scriptures. So I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon that she'll start off with Hebrews 10 and 20.
Yes, good afternoon to all the listeners. Good afternoon, Pastor. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Please excuse my voice. I want to thank everyone for all their prayers and my time of bereavement. In Hebrews 10 and 20, it reads as follows: by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We're praying for you, also Evangelist Sharon, for the healing in the name of Christ Jesus. And I'd like to apologize before I read that scripture, Pastor. I was in Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 9. I remember saying Romans 6 and verse 9. So I just want to correct that. That was Romans 8 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the scripture, Hebrews 10 and verse 20, Jesus cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Amen.
So the way to God is through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm understanding this correctly now, you can't get to God unless you go through Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 is so important. I say that scripture all the time because people don't know how blessed we are to have that. God opened up this new way, this new and living way, but it's through Christ. How does it start? Matthew 4 and 4. This is not necessarily a foundational scripture, but I want to say Matthew 4 and 4, because if you don't get that, you won't understand this miracle that I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes. You got to know that this is a miracle when you can do this. In Matthew 4 and 4, how that read, Evangelist Sharon?
In the King James, Jesus follows, But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible, Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Amen.
The Father wants you to have a redemptive mind. He wants you to have the kind of mind like his. And the only way you can have his kind of mind, you got to think like him. Don't let people fool you and tell you you can't think like God. Because if Philippians 2 and 5 is a reality, you'll know you can think like God because you know his mind. If 1 Corinthians 2 and 16, is any account of us thinking like God, it's possible. But we've never been taught that. I'll tell you what we've been taught. We've been taught to put everything off until the hereafter. We'll get right over there. We'll have righteousness over there. We never appreciate what God really did for the man Jesus. And I'm going to say this scripture. Well, it don't have to be part of our foundational. And then it might be because when I think about righteousness, isn't that what we all trying to do is be right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's stop laughing with this. Let's stop fighting with this. It receives it by faith that God made Jesus to be sin for you. He is your sin. That becomes your substitute right there. Now, what you going to do with it? You going to try to embarrass God by telling him, no, Lord, I don't need that. I'm going to be right on my own. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10 says, brethren, my heart, desire, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I bear them record. I got it on record now. It's on record.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's on record. That they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to righteousness. Yeah. It's not according to the word of God. For God's righteousness, if you'll get a hold of that right there and say, wait a minute, I've been doing this thing all wrong. People, I don't know if anybody could be any more religious than I was. I wanted everything act like religious. If you was religious, I wanted it because I didn't want nobody to have no more God than I had. And if I can be real honest with you all, in my early years, I didn't really know God.
Mm-hmm.
I say that with tears dropping down my eyes. I say that. I say that in a humble and respectful way. But I just wanted God that much. I had that zeal. I had that, I don't even know the right word, but I just had this thing where I wanted God, and anybody mentioned God, I wanted folks to know I knew him too. I knew him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have to confess that because I really didn't know what the new creation was about.
Yeah,
I was preaching it. I was saying what it say. Not that that was enough, but I had no idea of Christ's substitutionary work, that he became my sin so I could have his righteousness. I didn't know that was real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it was in the Bible, but I didn't know it was real.
Yeah,
well, I read Matthew 4:4. It's there, but how many people really know that's real? That's the way you have to live. I was dealing with somebody the other day, and I'm going to share this, and we'll get into some of these foundational scriptures. But you got to have a true concept about God, a true concept. Your conscience had to because see, what have happened consciously, I want y'all to help me out with this. Consciously, we've had the wrong concept. It was given to us wrong, the picture about God, and it was a wrong picture. Mm-hmm. Especially when we talk about the new creation. It made us as, we see God as a holy, just, unapproachable, what's the right word? We weren't allowed to touch him. He was too holy.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what people taught me. So I won't say you. So let me do an alert here. Let me alert you. That's what I was taught. And I know some others was taught the same thing. They taught us to be seeing, to be very aware of all what we were doing, that one of these days we were going to have to pay for. And no one ever told me Christ paid for the sin. I'm up here trying to be right. All I had to do was have faith in Christ. Because, see, when you're trying to be right, you're trying to live by the law. And the law will condemn you every time because you can't keep those commandments. I'm going to say this one more time. Because the law is called the law of sin and death. You sin, then you die. Because it's called the law of sin and death. You sin, then you die. Because you can't keep them. You can't keep the commandment. You can't keep the...
Yeah.
I don't know anyone. And if somebody knows someone, please tell me, text me, notify me. There's somebody who... That's why... Because see, if you mess up with one, it's like you mess with them all. You did one wrong, all of them wrong. You have no second chance with that. But when you're living up on the grace and truth, it's different. But here's my point. We may talk about that this week. Because I was taught that, you know, you was always condemned. Somebody was always trying to discover sin in us. They was always teaching that way. This concept had made us afraid. Had made us afraid and caused us a lot of shamefulness and with our heads down and it was sort of like, well, you know, we can't go to God like that. Let me try to clean up. And so probably like the people in the old, you know, before they prayed, they wanted to change clothes and they wanted to put on different shoes and they had a prayer outfit because they felt that they could put on all this stuff here and approach God. Brothers and sisters, that didn't move God, and it don't move God now. You can change all
that's
you.
Right.
He sees your heart.
Yeah.
And if you ain't careful, your heart will condemn you. That's why you got to go and live by the word of God. Because you can't go by what you feel or see or touch or hear. You can't live by that. Oh, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, John 14:23, because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. We got the wrong conception about God. And hopefully this week I'll be able to share with why I said that. But in John 14:23, could you read that for me?
Yes, it reads as follows. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. In the Message Bible, because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, my word and my Father will love him, will move right into the neighborhood. Amen.
Yeah, you know, I had to look at that scripture several times to get the true meaning of that. God said, if you just get in my word, I'm going to come to you. Woo! I said, Lord, am I ready? He said, yeah, if you'll keep my word, you're ready for me. He want to come and live in me. Big God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, the one that spoke to the wind and rebuked the wind and told the sea, peace be still. He want to come and live in me. The one that spread the waters and when the children of Israel couldn't go to the right, he want to come live in me.
Yeah. Say it now.
The one that spoke through the cloud and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He won't live in me. What? Are you serious? The scripture can't lie, brother. He said, I want to come and I want to chill out with you. How about that word, that chill out? Well, I want to hang out with you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to hang out with you.
Thank you, Lord.
But I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, it's beautiful. Because he's a father.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. He loves me.
Yes.
The world may know that thou hast sent me and has
mm-hmm.
loved them as thou hast loved me. And you know he loved Jesus. He raised him from the dead. He wouldn't leave him down there. And he gave him power while he was in the grave. I don't know who that's for, but you know God will give you power when you're dead in the grave. When everybody mm-hmm. else can walk away from you, God's giving you power. When you think that
you
can't make it, God's getting ready to give you his strength, his power.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you his only begotten son. What more won't he give you?
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to know what God have given you. First of all, in Romans 8 and 15, that'll be one of our foundational scripture that we'll be working off of, too. In Romans 8 and 15, can you go there?
Yes, read as follows. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen.
Amen, amen. In the Message Bible, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. Amen.
Yeah. And you'll know it. It'll become a fact to you. It won't be just plain printed words anymore. And hopefully this mm-hmm. week we'll talk about two kinds of righteousness. Because, see, you got your righteousness, and then there is God's righteousness.
All right.
So we're going to have to decide what righteousness, because you're going to live by one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like it or not, you will live by one or the other. You say, well, no, I live by reasoning. No, you're going to either live by what you interpreted, what you call to be right, or how you decided what is right, or you going to live by this miracle that God did in Christ Jesus when he made him to be our sin. I thought about that. God cloned Jesus in a way of understanding this. Now, let me back up because I want everybody to get this right. God saw you. And I'm trying to make it as plain as I can. God saw you. Okay, he see you. So he said, okay, well, let me clone this body over here. So he cloned that body over there, and he said, okay, Jesus, you become sin for that person right there. And he's the problem, no problem. So if he became your sin, then you get his righteousness. I think that's a pretty good exchange right there. Well, the problem is, Jesus has done his job. The church has refused to teach people what's legally there, and that is righteousness. This is your new freedom, brothers and sisters. You ought to be running. This is our new freedom. We have right now. We have righteousness now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
Now, we don't have our own righteousness. Our fellowship is through God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Our fellowship is with the Son. Remember over there in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9? Our fellowship is with the Son, man. That's our righteousness now. I know the fellowship was broken, but Christ had put it back together. God put it back together by allowing us to be in Christ. And Satan has no part up there. That's what I like about that new birth. I think it's such a miracle. God went into sin and created a brand new person inside sin. That's a miracle to me. That's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
God went into the midst of sin.
Mm.
Yeah, see, because we were sin. God went into the midst of us and created a new person inside of the old body, crucified that man, buried him, and resurrected the new person.
Hallelujah.
This new and living day. We'll get into it tomorrow.